And it just kind of evolved in a different way as time went on.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, my youngest son will be baptized today. I'm rather excited about this. I will not be doing the baptism itself. My mother-in-law, Pastor Barry Sanders, is here from the United Lutheran Church in Tacoma. And she will be baptizing, and I will be playing the role of the father. It's handy, because I am the father. You love me, Sarah. You really do. My wife is looking at me right now, like, why did they let me speak? What is baptism? It's a semi-rhetorical question. What is baptism? When we look through the Bible, we see all these different images for baptism, what it means, how it's described. I taught a class soon after I got here on communion, and I have a class I'm going to do next year on baptism. The reason it's a year away is because we've scheduled out the next year's worth of classes, and that's what it fit in. Baptism has like a dozen, maybe 15 different images in the New Testament. It is described as adoption into a new family. It is described as enlightenment. It is described as transfer of ownership, as a death to sin and a reawakening to a new life. Okay, there's five. I'm not going to try to remember them all. So that's what comes in the class. It will be quite exciting. But there are like 12 or 15 different things in the New Testament, ways in which baptism is described. You know what baptism is not?
Magic.
It's not magic. Good job, Pastor Mary. Baptism is not magic. Baptism is not a vaccine. I often think that we treat baptism as if, I don't know if anyone else did this in school. When I was a kid, I'm a short man, so I'll get up here so you can see me. When I was a kid, in school, sometimes we would say these mean things on recess. It would be like, circle, circle, dot, dot, I just got my Justin shot. And that meant that Justin, who was actually a friend of mine, could no longer give me his cooties or whatever it was. And I think sometimes we think of baptism on some level almost like a Satan shot, like protection from, is this vaccine? You know, we get it as a kid, and then we're cured, we're immune to sin, and death will never bother us for the rest of our lives. And this is not true. That is not what baptism is. Baptism is not about a vaccine, it is about a relationship. Baptism is about a relationship between God and humanity. Between the Creator and creation. In the Lutheran Church, we recognize baptism of infants, as Archer is today. This actually makes it quite convenient that he's being baptized today, because if we did not recognize the baptism of infants, this would be really weird, what we're about to do. I didn't think that much thought until I was in my first call on the peninsula. Long Beach Peninsula of Washington State, and I was working with the Young Life group there. And so there was me, kind of the resident, mainline Lutheran pastor who was helping out, and then a whole bunch of folks with a more charismatic Pentecostal background. How about that? And we had some conversations about baptism, and I had honestly forgotten. And for some folks, the idea of baptizing an infant is anathema. It's horrible. Why would you do that? They can't believe. They can't stand up in front of a group of people and say, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Don't me. And don't get me wrong. As I often say, I'm like a joking. I sometimes treat things a little bit less than serious. I mean, no disrespect towards the believer in baptism, because I think there are some wonderful advantages to it. There's something to be said about the idea someone as an adult actually thinking about, praying about, discerning the process and saying, you know what, yes, this is for me. I accept this covenant, this relationship. I'm diving in with my eyes open. But there's something to be said about the opposite. There is something to be said about today. As Arthur comes up here, Arthur is not even 3 months old yet. Arthur cannot really choose to go to sleep on his own. He can't really choose when to use the restroom, as it were. He's helped with a lot of things. Arthur will not stand up here today for what he can't stand. He won't stand up here to speak for what he can't speak and say those things. His mother and I, Sarah and I, will be saying those things. And that's wonderful too. Because as we baptize this child, an infant, we are reminded that our relationship with God, the instigation of that relationship, is not us. My relationship with God does not begin with me. It begins with God. God is the actor. If this was football, the opening kickoff is always in the hands of the holy. It is always God who gets the first say. And then the game will begin. Baptism is about grace. It is not just about faith. But as Arthur, as I've said several times now, is too young to make these decisions himself, that means that there becomes the need for a community, which is also wonderful. Because our relationship with God is a relationship, which means it is about community. Our relationship with God is when two or more are gathered. It feeds off of each other. Baptism, big reverend Archer, we're going to bring over here. Mary, Pastor Mary, we're in the church. Pastor Mary will come up. She will say the words, the water will be poured over his head. Our good friend Stephen and Jen will be up here as well. They will say their words. You all have words to say too. No pressure, they'll be up there so you can read them. But it doesn't end today. Our parents are getting wet today, and that's it. We don't think about it anymore. Great. Got that check mark. Let's move on to something else. Baptism is something we grow into over the course of our lives. It is like faith itself, it's something we struggle with. This November, I will be 35 years old. Oftentimes, some of you try to remember how old is Pastor Chris. Now you know, write it down, 35 and over. I'm still growing into it. I will continue to grow into it for the rest of my life. Some of you in here, you are older than 35. You're 36. And a half. Or more. You are still growing into your baptism. You're still growing into this relationship. Because the relationship is a process. Sarah and I got married 8 years ago. It's not like we had that wedding and then we went our separate ways. That doesn't make any sense. I think about that for a moment. Sometimes I think we almost treat elements of our faith life like that. Like it's, okay, see that? I said, cool, check mark. I don't have to go anymore. Can you imagine if we did that with a wedding? Think that funny. Hey everybody, we're here. Here's our registry. Let's have this great celebration, this great party, and then we're just going to go our separate ways and never see each other again. That's not a relationship. And it is a relationship that we are called to in Christ. The Aeolian element, I'll touch on that a little bit, it's related to the original title of the sermon. It says in Ephesians today, remember that you were without Christ. alien and a stranger, and this is a new deal. Because in an ancient time, especially in the biblical time, to be an alien, to be a stranger in a strange land, is to be without safety, is to be without support. When Sarah and I moved to Shoreline, we had family relatively close, which made the transition much easier.
Thank you.
Thank you, families over here. Why did you see that? It made it so much easier. I think back to our initial move to Berkeley. And as difficult as it was made so much easier by my in-law being just a few hours away that they could come and help us move in. He helped us move a lot.
Yeah.
And then we didn't help you, we just said how that was. But in biblical times, especially when we don't have all those ready access to communication, obviously to a phone, to a car, a plane, those relationships become so crucial. To be an alien, to be a stranger in a strange land, is to be vulnerable, is to be scared, is to be obviously alone and lonely. And in Ephesians today, Paul reminds his hearers that you were once like that. That before Christ, you were an alien, you were a stranger, you were without support, without relationship, without family. And then he uses a word that, when I read this reading this past week, it blew my mind. He refers to them as citizens. Did he not accept that? For me, it really made my ears perk up, or my eyes perk up. Because to be a citizen in Rome would be to have rights. He said, now, once you are an alien, now you are a citizen. You have rights. Literally, in Rome, you now have the right to marry. You have the right to vote in certain situations. You have the right to actually have a court case as opposed to just going straight to the Roman equivalent of a trial. You show that a Roman citizen can now be crucified. You can still be executed, you just wouldn't be crucified. Roman rights are not all for their identity. But along with rights and citizens, you have responsibilities. And citizens, when he called them, you now are a citizen in Christ, you have responsibilities, you have commitments, you have things that you are answerable to. Because you are a part of something bigger. Today, when Archer is up here today, he's learning the basketball outfit that Big Brother Cabin wore almost 4 years ago. He's actually being very baptized by the same Mary baptism. Let's start over. Today, when Archer is baptized, you'll be wearing the same baptismal outfit that Big Brother Cabin wore almost 4 years ago. He will be baptized by the same grandmother, Pastor Mary, who baptizes his brother, who incidentally gave me this rope, belt cincture around my robe. The robe I am wearing actually belonged to Pastor Eric Sigmar, who baptized me almost 35 years ago. The cross around my neck was provided by my home congregation, West Side Lutheran in Auburn, during my ordination. That was my first week at Chinook. The Talon broke this cross, where then my father, there you are, repaired it by turning a new piece of bloodwood to put it in the center and re-gluing it. And at first I was really angry that it was broken, and now I like it so much better because it's slightly imperfect now, and I really like that. The skull around my neck belonging to my dear friend, Pastor Bob Hamilton, my internship supervisor in Ohio, one of three men whose middle name, Archer Robert Bodie, comes from, along with his paternal grandfather, Robert, over there, and his maternal grandfather, James Robert, and he rests in peace. Connections. Relationships. Family in Christ. That's what baptism is about. It's not vaccine. It's not magic. It's not a miracle cure. Americans of, by definition, community, the group of us. For Christ is our peace, and his flesh has made us into one, and has broken down the dividing wall between us, the hostility between us. Christ has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances. He has replaced it with his own commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is what our church baptized into today. As the water is poured over his head, as we repeat the creed, he is being baptized into a loving relationship with his God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and David, the God of you and me. He's being baptized into a family with roots that trace back a long time.